while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
How many people remember the motto verse for 2024? Do you remember? Show of hands. Some people are trying to remember, and those of you who cannot see it, when you're at the front, you see everything. Some people are like, motto, it's right there. It's right there. The motto verse for 2024, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. It's right there. And every year we have a motto verse, and we hold that in our minds. As it happens, typically each year, we have the motto verse in January, I'll do a sermon on it, and then that's it, it's done. There was a year we did do you remember where we did the translated into different languages? That was great, and it stayed in our consciousness, didn't it? And this year I thought, what are we going to do? You know, this is a really powerful verse, and I felt that we should revisit it again. So 3 months ago I introduced it. The sermon then was called Let's Get Going. Today's sermon is called When the Going Gets Tough. And then later on in the year, I'm going to touch on it again. Before I get into that, you remember the song, right? Billy Ocean. Yes? How many people remember Billy Ocean? Oh, Hansie, you're showing your age. Yeah, I didn't want to ask how many old people are there in the building. I thought I'd style it out. How many people remember Billy Ocean from 1985? You know, the message in that... Are you playing the music for that? Can you pray for this brother, please? By the way, I really, 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 I'm going to say it publicly. I loved what you were playing today. I was at the back just feeling that bass. I'm thinking, ah, he's playing the bass the exact same way I play it in my dreams. So I salute the gift of God in you, Emmanuel. The key message of that song is, you know, it's an old saying. You know, when the going gets tough, come on, get going, pick it up. Do you understand? If you're a tough person, do what you got to do. You know, work harder, strive harder, yeah? Make more effort. Anyway, let's stop talking about Billy Ocean. Some people are really going to wonder if we're a proper church. We're Christians. We're not supposed to know what's going on in the world, are we? Let alone start talking about Billy Ocean, huh? So let's talk about Romans 12. Romans 12, our text tells us to be patient in affliction. What is affliction? How many people even understand the meaning of that word? I thought about it and I looked it up. And everywhere that I looked up the meaning of affliction is not just talking about pain and hurt. It's talking about it as if affliction is the root of the pain. Affliction goes beyond pain. Affliction goes beyond disappointment. Affliction goes into a deeper place. I really also want, I think it's right for me to also at this point appreciate the teens, teen time, the young people, and what they did. Just really thank you so much. What a great, great, great message. So how do we respond? And we heard some of them talking about the difficulties and the challenges in their lives. How do we respond when we're facing a crisis? How do we respond when stuff is really getting tough? And we all go through trouble. We all go through affliction. We all go through challenges. You know, it's not unique to one person. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. If you're going through some stuff right now, you're not alone. It's not just you. Of course, your life is the only life you're living. And it's important to you. And I'll touch on that in a moment. But how do we respond? God always has a purpose for our lives. Always, 100% of the time. And we can reap a real harvest depending on how we stand up to the challenges that we face. Paul was the one that wrote this verse. Paul wrote here, all right? And this guy knew about suffering. Trust me, I'm telling you. This guy knew about affliction. Let me read to you something he wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4, he starts by being positive. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. He's talking about being transparent. But it's verse 1 I want to touch with. He starts with the word therefore. And if you ever see the word therefore, it means something has come before. Something has been previously mentioned. And that's the situation here. Because Paul's in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians is talking about some of the stuff that's going on in his own life as an encouragement to the people of Corinth. Saints, too often we get so discouraged. Anybody ever got discouraged you want to quit? Let me see your hands. Why are you trying to be holy? Just tell the truth here. You get so discouraged. You're like, you know what? I'm fed up. Have you ever been, you've actually been fed up of being fed up? You've had enough of having enough? Do you understand? You're sick and tired of being sick. How many times are you going to be sick and tired? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, and this is what the stuff that Paul was alluding to here. And too often we get so discouraged. And the reason we want to quit is because we lose sight of the greatness of God's calling on our lives. In those times, in those moments. Let me share this very, very quickly. Last Sunday, as at this time last Sunday, I was sitting at the back with Akosua. Was it last Sunday or the Sunday before? No, it was last Sunday. Yeah, last Sunday at a particular point. I said to her, I don't think we're going to have a baptism anymore. Sunday before, I was sitting at the back. Okay, aha. But last week, I'm sure I said to a number of people, no, we're not having a baptism service. We're not having, it's the Sunday before. Yeah, we're not having a baptism service. Oh, why? I said, because nobody's come forward. Every baptism service in this church that we've scheduled, since I've been here, that we've scheduled, it's not like we find people to be baptized and then we organize a baptism service. By faith, we just put in the date, put the dates in the calendar. We say, hey, baptism. We're going to organize a baptism service. And we say, hey, do you want to get baptized? And people come. People respond to, you're not responding to me, you're responding to God. People respond to God. And as at this time last week, no, this time the week before, sorry, there was nobody. And I said to her, I said, oh, we're not going to have a baptism service next week. She said, oh, really? I said, yeah, no, you know, we don't have any candidates. And then right as we were in the middle of that, sitting there doing whatever, Elder Isaac preaching, and I'll never forget how you did it. He stood slightly to one side, and he said these words. He said, next Sunday, this pool is going to be open, filled with the waters for baptism. And I just thought to myself, Deji, why are you being discouraged? Do you remember 2 weeks ago, and I came up here after the sermon, I said, I don't know, I really feel I should do this. Who's baptism for? If it's for you, God speaking to you, do something, step up, etc., etc., what I said. Monday, do you know how many people came forward? None. Tuesday, nobody. The first person, Wednesday. Second person, Thursday. Third person, Friday. And then on Sunday, we had two more to the glory of God. Yeah, I get discouraged too. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, did you even say that? Lord, are you even there? Or is it just me? You know, people say, oh, something said. I can't stand that phrase. The Holy Spirit ain't something. Don't call him something. Please, don't do that. Let's learn different and be different. Don't call him something. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. I'm like, Lord, did I hear you right? Or did I make that up in my head? Or was it something that said, not you? You know? So in 2 Corinthians 4, we're talking about, seeing Paul is talking about getting discouraged, but he's talking about how he's not discouraged. And we see it in verse 17. It talks about our affliction being light. You know that verse, our light affliction. But I want to read you something, 2 Corinthians 11. I want to show you Paul's CV where it comes to discouragement. This is what happened to Paul. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes. Yeah, I'll skip that. 40 lashes minus 1, 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times shipwrecked. Spent a night in the sea. Constantly on the move. Being in danger in rivers. Danger from thieves and bandits. Danger from my fellow Jews. Danger from Gentiles. Danger in the city. Danger in the country. Danger in the sea. Danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled. I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. And often I'll go without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of concern for all the churches. What? This dude had pressure. Absolute pressure. And I'm not trying to diminish. I'm not trying to put down what you're going through. Please hear me. God forbid that I do that. But when we talk about Paul and what he experienced, this guy, we're not talking some Sunday school, kindergarten, Mary had a little lamb kind of suffering. This guy had a PhD in pressure. And this is the physical stuff. What about the emotional, psychological, the spiritual attacks? What about all of that? What about all of that? And the truth of it is this. It's, you know, even though it's important to us and our own affliction is huge, our own challenge is huge, you know, the Bible says to us that our affliction is light. Paul said our light affliction. And it's light, not compared to what other people are going through. It's light compared to eternity. Compared to God, it is light. Stop comparing your difficulty, your pressure, your challenge, your pain with what's going on in the world. Don't look at it from that perspective. You should be looking at it From a heavenly perspective, what is God saying about this, our light affliction? He says our light affliction works out to produce an eternal weight of glory. And I'm not saying every affliction produces, you know, good, you know, glory. Some stuff is really set out, the enemy sets out to destroy us, to absolutely crush us. And that's why he then goes on to say, which you saw come up, we don't fix our eyes on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because the things that are unseen are eternal. Yes, things are hurting. Yes, it's difficult. But look at the things that are eternal. Psalm 18, verse 18, talks about how God delivers us. He says, they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. God is always there. No, the day of my disaster. It's understanding the disaster came, but the Lord was my support. So we can always cross that bridge. We can always get to the other side. God understands our physical, emotional, spiritual needs. When the enemy tries to trip us up, we can trust in our good, great, glorious God to hold us up. What are you going through that God can't touch? What are you going through? The lion's den was a platform. Never forget that. Yes, it was scary, but it was a platform for Daniel to receive promotion. Prison was a platform for Joseph to become prime minister. The dungeon was a platform for Paul to write some of the scriptures that we read today. The shade of the juniper tree was a platform for Elijah to be reinvigorated in his ministry, a recommissioning. The isolation on the island of Patmos was a platform for John to catch a revelation of God. And we have this wonderful book of Revelation. I say wonderful because sometimes you read that book, you can't even sleep for 3 days. I want to encourage you, don't let the situation you're facing be a platform for disaster or destruction. Let it be a platform for you to praise God for who he is. Irrespective of the adversity, the disaster, the rejection, the anxiety, irrespective, change your perspective on what you see. Is pain a good thing or is it a bad thing? Question, quick. Pain, is it a good thing or a bad thing? You see? It depends. Depends on who you're asking. Ask a mother pregnant for the first time, about to give birth to her first child. Is pain a good thing? She'll probably punch you in the nose. Ask a woman who's about to give birth to her fourth child, or ask the midwife standing next to her, are those pains a good thing? They say yes, because they're supposed to happen. We know what's happening by those birth pains. It depends. It depends on the perspective. Is a test a good thing or a bad thing? Don't ask the 16-year-old who's doing GCSEs for the first time, you know, absolutely losing their mind. Yes? Go ask somebody who's waiting for the results of a blood test. Is it a good thing? Is a test a good thing or a bad thing? Is a trial a good thing or a bad thing? Ask the person who's just been found not guilty. Whether a trial is a good thing or a bad thing, it depends. Is a hindrance or a good thing or a bad thing? Last week, Pastor Manuela and I stood in this pool and we, five adults, fully clothed, we pushed them into a pool. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It depends. Is a hurdle a good thing or a bad thing? For some people, a hurdle is a hindrance. For other people, a hurdle is an opportunity. For a man called Ares Merritt, a hurdle is more than an opportunity. It's part of his identity. I want to show you a quick video from 12 years ago.
Set.
nobody's beaten that record. I want to do something quickly. Quick demonstration. Emmanuel, please come. The Emmanuels. In fact, I know. Yes. Somebody said, which one? I just realized there's so many Emmanuels in church today. There's one here. There's one there. No, just these two. Thank you. The first two. Okay, you know what? You can come as well. No, not you. I can see Emmanuel there thinking, no, is he talking? No, I'm not talking to you, man. All right. Okay. So here's what I want to do. I want you, the two young Emmanuels, stand. Everybody stand on this side a little bit. Good. So what I want you to do, first of all, we do it one at a time. I want you, with one hand, just one hand, pick that one up and put it on the chair. One hand. Nope, couldn't do it. Yeah, fantastic. Now you, one hand. Okay. He was very clever. He put his finger in the hole. There's always one, right? I'm going to teach him a lesson now. Pick that one up and put it on the chair. Nope, thank you very much. When he picked it up, I was shocked. I'm like, what are your parents giving you to eat? This one's 2.3 kilos. That's 6 kilos. One hand. I wasn't ready for you, son. Emmanuel, please pick that up and put it on the chair. Yeah, whatever. Now, here's my question. How come he was able to do it? Shout. Somebody said he's an adult. What else? Pardon? Ability. Pardon? He's stronger. Experienced. Ooh. He goes to Fit Temple. Not yet. Soon. Thank you. Thank you, Emmanuels. Why was he able to do it? He's an adult. He's stronger. But he's not just because he's an adult. Because there are adults who can't do that. You said experience. And that's an interesting word. Because lifting 6 kilos is not that difficult for him. Why? He's stronger. How is he stronger? He didn't just get stronger. I think I should put this down, actually. How did he get stronger? I'm about to fall over. How did he get stronger? Today wasn't his first day picking up something worth 6 kilo weight. He started, he practiced, he did it again and again and again and again and again. Saints, you can make it. I don't care, excuse my language, what you're facing. You can make it. I don't care, excuse my language, how hard it is for you. You can do it. You can make it. You can make it. Well, you can make it if you don't quit. The only test you are guaranteed not to pass is the test you don't sit. The only race you're guaranteed not to win is the race you don't run. It's the one you don't, the only target you're guaranteed not to hit is the one you don't aim for. The only job you're guaranteed not to get is the one you don't apply for. So what's your hurdle? What is the test you need to sit, that you need to pass, your next stage of your journey? What's the level of strength you need to build? Many, many centuries before Paul wrote about affliction. Oh, screen's gone blank. Oh, yeah, it's me. Before he wrote about affliction, Psalm 119:71, the New King James says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." This was written in the Psalms. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I love it, the easy to read or easy read version. It says, suffering was good for me. I learned your laws. See, at the beginning of this service, if somebody had asked you, is suffering good for you? You're most likely to have said no. Then you read this in scripture and you think, well, the title of this sermon is When the Going Gets Tough. When the going gets tough, when affliction comes, what is it that you do? The tough get going, yes, but going where? You press into the presence of God. When the going gets tough, it's time to spend time with God. With all due respect, you can only take it so far by yourself. Romans 12:12 tells us not to think the way the world, 12:2 tells us don't think the way the world thinks. So what do you do when the going gets tough? Let me remind you, we all encounter problems. In my last sermon on 12:12, I said a phrase. I said, the you of tomorrow is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. The you of tomorrow is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. Now, let me tell you another one that I want you to remember, and I think this is really important as you press toward having a slightly different mindset. Are you ready? The most important mark of you being a Christian is not consistency in who you are, but consistency in who He is. Not consistency in who you are, but continuity in who He is. Thank you, Felix. It's not about you being you. This is me. And No. What makes you a Christian, an imitator, emulator of Christ, is your continuity in being conformed to His image. That's the mark of Christianity. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I want to guarantee you that God knows it better than you ever could. He is that friend that's closer than a brother, more comforting than any parent, more faithful than any friend. His presence can turn storms into calm, turn your winter nights into summer days. His presence turns your prison to a palace, makes your heavy affliction become a light affliction, makes your long affliction become a short affliction. In fact, His presence can turn a bitter affliction into a sweet blessing. Let me end with these thoughts. Whatever the cause of your situation, your affliction, recognize that you are under the guidance of God. You are in the purpose of God. So even your affliction is in the purpose of God. He is there to hold you, prepare you as you journey through the valley of the affliction. And I pray that as you do so, that you will find the courage to hold your head up high and say with confidence, it is good that I was afflicted so that I may be better, more patient in affliction. Whatever you're going through, no matter how tough it is, I want you to remember you're in the hands of the one who parted the Red Sea. The one who stills storms, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, the one that we know causes all things to work together for our good. You're in the hands of He who can do it and carry you through. And my prayer is that as you fully surrender to His grace and love, in the midst of your adversity, in the midst of your affliction, you will be able to see every crisis in your life as a stepping stone. A stepping stone and an opportunity to see Him work in you and through you. Affliction or not, tough times or not, your best days are yet to come. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.